In association with Newsarama, welcome again to Word Balloon, the comic book conversation show. This is John Suntress. Today, a rundown of the Secret Six with their writer, Gail Simone. Now, I know Gail is also writing Wonder Woman, and I'm sure Welcome to Tranquility fans are wondering why we're not going to be talking about that. Certainly the Wonder Woman fans, even the Gus Beezer fans. Well, just understand, Gail is scheduled for another round of 50 questions from Word Balloon listeners. But lately she's been battling the flu and traveling, and while she didn't have the strength for the usual Word Balloon marathon, she did give me a nice amount of time to focus on her quirky all-villains book that fans have demanded get greenlit for a monthly series. We're just two issues into the Secret Six monthly run, and Gail is here with details of how the book got started, the core characters, and hints about what's coming next. This episode of Word Balloon is brought to you by InStock Trades at InStockTrades.com, where they promise savings of up to 35% off trade paperbacks, hardcovers, archives, absolute editions, omnibus editions, and more. In fact, regarding the Secret Six, here's three great deals from InStockTrades.com. You can get the book that started it all, Villains United, which retails at $12.99 at InStockTrades.com, just $8.18. The Secret Six Volume 1 trade, $14.99 is the retail price at InStockTrades, just $9.44. Or the crossover with Birds of Prey, it's called Dead of Winter. Again, the regular retail price, $17.99 at InStockTrades.com, just $11.33. Don't forget about their sister site, too, Discount Comic Book Service at DCBService.com, where you can get all your monthly needs taken care of. For more details, check out both of the websites, Discount Comic Book Service, DCBService.com, and InStock Trades at InStockTrades.com. First of all, I know Villains United was part of the whole Infinite Crisis plan, or at least that's how it was presented, but you tell me, was this something that was presented to you, or was this an idea that you had that they folded into Infinite Crisis?
It was kind of a combination of everything. I had a pitch in that was for a villains type book, which I think lots of other people did, but I did at the time, and when they liked a lot of the stuff that they had seen in that pitch, and so when they decided they were going to do a villains book as part of Infinite Crisis, then yeah, they asked me to do it, and there were certain things that had to be included. But in the beginning, it was kind of bizarre because they called me up and they were like, okay, we want you to do a villains book. Are you interested? And yeah, of course, yes. And then I said, well, can I use the Joker? No. Can I use Penguin? No. And I just would go through all the lists of DC villains if I could use them, and the answer was no because they were being used elsewhere.
Sure.
So we had to create a team that was going to be interesting and vibrant and stuff that and be in the book and help hold up the book without using big name villains. So it kind of a bad thing, if you will, turned into be a great thing in the end.
Yeah, because you were able to then look at a lot of these characters and give them very deep characterization and layer on their backstories. And I mean, now we've got a bunch of B-list guys that are and girls that are suddenly very popular characters.
My master plan.
you've identified the core, at least of what you've taken to the regular series now, is Catman, Deadshot, Scandal, and Ragdoll.
For now. Never know.
Okay.
You never know with these guys. Anyone could die or kill each other or be killed at any moment.
Well, let's focus on Catman, because obviously that's the one that you were, I think, most excited about, at least based on your interviews, and certainly you gave him the splashiest kind of beefcake debut, half naked.
Yay, beefcake!
But yeah, I mean, as you know, that's cool. I mean, I give you a lot of credit for that because I don't.
Well, and also don't forget Dale Eaglesham, because when he drew that first page where we really get a good look of the new Catman, it was so gorgeous and sexy and, you know, everything that we wanted. And I had asked him, so we kind of want him to remind us of Tarzan of the DC universe, mm-hmm. kind of, you know, and
sure.
He just totally got it, and the emotions were all perfect, everything was perfect, and I think from that moment on people got excited about Catman.
And why did
obvious reasons.
But why what about Catman excited you and said this is a guy? Because obviously before that he was fat, he was a joke. I mean, he had really kind of fallen on bad times.
Well, yes, he was, but we can't forget that he was originally created to be, he wasn't created as a loser. He was created to be a credible opponent for Batman.
Mm-hmm.
And I always kind of liked that idea, and I liked that he was, to me, kind of what might have happened to Batman if he hadn't had Alfred as a moral compass.
Okay.
And so we just kind of went with that, and then I just liked the whole animalistic, you know, idea of Catman remaking himself in the jungles of Africa from the bottom up. I really love characters that have really been beaten down to crap and have to come back out of it.
Great fight scene with them, obviously, in this most recent issue.
Thank you. That was fun.
The one that I think...
couldn't wait to get to that. I kept telling Dad for like, I don't know, I think it's been at least 2 years. We have to have Catman versus Batman. We have to have Catman versus Batman. It'd be so cool.
And I like that, you know, he and Deadshot have kind of taken the Butch and Sundance kind of partner role within the group. And I, you know, Deadshot, obviously, I'm assuming somebody that you love from the Suicide Squad days.
Oh, yeah, totally. That's why he's in the Secret Six, is because of John Ostrander doing such a fantastic, brilliant job with him.
No, and I'm trying to go back to those years. Did he have a Butcher, a Sundance partner back then? I mean, was it a Boomerang, basically? I'm trying to remember.
Well, I'm not sure about that, but the difference between Deadshot in the Suicide Squad and the Secret Six is that the Suicide Squad was kind of thrust upon him, whereas he wants to be in the Secret Six. This is his choice. And so that's kind of why he has a little more of a sense of humor and is a little, you know, not quite so serious.
Okay. Well, I, you know, we've seen his daughter, and obviously he cares about his daughter, but yeah, I guess I've seen you say before that they kind of, the group is stuck with each other, and they do kind of want to work together, but it does kind of go against their nature of just being villains and not wanting to work together with these
right.
other people.
Right, they're uncomfortable with the fact that they like each other.
Well, and then we saw him trying to do something nice for Scandal, I guess, for her birthday.
In his own way, yes.
Yeah. You know, that was a question that came up, and we'll address, I mean, we can address it now, but this was one of the questions that people on my message board asked, my specific message board, asked about losing Knockout because of the death of the New Gods. Was that a big loss for you, or did you know that that was going to happen, or you're like, oh, well?
Well, I didn't know, you know, back when that it was going to happen. But I felt the loss of it because I get attached to characters that I work with. There's no question about that. But we have stuff coming up with Knockout and Scandal. It's not over yet, but it's not going to probably resolve itself the way people are thinking.
Oh, okay. Because she is dead right now, right?
She is dead.
Okay. And right now the current mission is to spring Tarantula, which they've done at the end of issue 2.
Right.
And I'm assuming now she is going to be part of the group, at least for now.
Well, she's part of the group in that they're transporting her.
Oh.
I don't believe that they think at this point that she is part of their group, no.
Okay.
She is their fee.
Now, she was a, you know, controversial character for her encounter with Nightwing on the roof. Some fans felt it was rape. And is this kind of the opposite end of the women in refrigerators as far as what happened with Nightwing and Tarantula on the roof?
In terms of her being able to come out of it, you mean?
I was just even thinking of the incident itself, that it was the male hero that was kind of the victim in that little deal. I don't know.
Right. Well, you know, in stories there's always going to be a victim and a victimizer. That's the nature of conflict.
Sure.
A lot of times. So I don't know if I would call it opposite of women in refrigerators or not. You know, I kind of am getting to where we don't want to always put those kind of labels on everything. But, you know, bad things are going to happen to both male and female characters. We just, in my opinion, don't want to take every female character that people have fallen in love with and really liked and, you know, depower them or rape them or
sure.
or maim them in some way, because it just really leaves a bad taste. And I think it really cuts out a lot of the audience if you know, you have that feeling that if you fall in love with a female character that that's going to happen. And I think we're well past that now.
Good.
In the industry, which is very great.
What is it about Tarantula that made her an interesting character for you to grab? Or is that still to come in the story?
Yeah, all that stuff will be revealed over the issues, and so I don't want to give away too much. But,
okay. You
know, it's always about dynamics of the group whenever I'm writing a group book or a group storyline. And so these characters are chosen by how they fit into the story.
Okay. Well, let's talk about the other core members for a second, Scandal and Ragdoll, because... you know, I kind of blanked on a lot of the 90s action in DC, and I really wasn't there for a lot of it, so...
Yeah, I was kind of out of comics during that time myself, to be honest.
Okay. Well, tell me, what about Scandal? I mean, I do like the fact that Vandal Savage has a daughter, and she has been this very interesting character in your hands, but...
Well, I pretty much created her. There was no Scandal before Villains United, at least not to my knowledge.
I didn't realize that. Okay.
Yeah. Cool. And then Dale created her visual look.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought that as far as the dynamic for the group that we were creating at the time, that she would be great because DC is kind of a legacy-based company
mm-hmm.
as compared to maybe Marvel. And we see a lot of times second, third generation characters. And I thought, you know, we couldn't really use Vandal. And so I thought, oh, but if he had a daughter, and can you imagine if you think it's bad being raised by Britney Spears or Michael Jackson, can you imagine what it would be like to be raised by a homicidal dictator who's been around since the time of Neanderthal? I just thought that was the basis of creating a really interesting villain, if you will.
Yeah. No, she's awesome. I didn't realize that. That's great. And Ragdoll... there was always something about the original Golden Age of Ragdoll that I liked because it was just such a ridiculous character. But then, especially when they kind of flipped it and made him this kind of homicidal terrorist and you know, really crazy. And this Ragdoll, I always kind of rolled my eyes. But again, I think it's your humor that has saved this character and made him a very fun character.
Well, and he's the son of the original Ragdoll.
Mm-hmm.
And he, unlike the original Ragdoll, he has his abilities... through surgery, having all of his joints replaced with mechanical joints that rotate 360 degrees. And he is on the team to provide some comic relief, but he's actually the most dangerous of all of them, the most capable of doing something truly awful, even to his friends, perhaps. And he barely knows anyone else exists. His main reason for living is for the next surgery. His surgical addiction is so bad, and he's that selfish that he just doesn't care. So, yes, he provides comic relief, but watch out.
That's great. You know, and I know a lot of people loved what you did with Mad Hatter in the first couple stories. And Ragdoll, I think, has not replaced him because they were both there together, but also I think he kind of fills the void that you leaned on with the Hatter in the first couple stories as far as crazy
definitely
humor.
Definitely disturbing.
Yeah. Well, and I know a lot of us still want to see the Hatter come back at some point.
Oh, maybe, maybe not. Can't say.
Okay, fair enough. No problem. Let's talk about the humor in the book. I mean, you like really some really gross things that were very funny. Like, you know, why?
Yes, this is my personal descent into hell.
Well, that's good. Eat your Grundy. You know, was really my favorite line from the second miniseries. I mean, that was awesome. And, you know, just the and also just the dumb lines that still work, like the giant trustee at Alcatraz.
Oh.
Nobody leaves on my watch thing.
Yeah.
You got a good rhythm with stupid lines that somehow seem to work, and it shouldn't work, but it does.
Well, I think dialogue is fun. I love writing dialogue, and I love trying to figure out ways to make dialogue sound different from each other. I really prefer that the characters don't all have the same voice, so that's really fun for me to kind of play with that.
Now, we see this group of villains that are, you know, all going to be after the six at the end of the second issue. And was that Enchantress in the front? There's a woman in green.
Right.
I guess it is an Enchantress, but I know she's someone, and I'm, again, this is my lack of 90s DC villain history.
Right.
That
we just have to stay tuned. A lot of those villains on there, Nicola created and made up. Some are existing that we automatically recognize, and then some are to be revealed later.
Well, and let's talk about Nicola coming on the team, because everyone loved what you guys did on Birds of Prey, and it was tough to lose Dale, I'm sure. But Nicola is, you know, hitting it out of the ballpark, as we all expected she would, just, again, because of how great she was on Birds of Prey. So, you know, did she get it right away in terms of what you're looking for?
Oh, well, totally. First of all, she did Secret Six in Birds of Prey, because we had crossover. So we got to see a little taste of what she would do with the Secret Six if she had a book. But the great thing about Nicola is she has a Kevin Maguire gift for facial expressions and the acting in the panel and everything, not to mention how gorgeous everything is, but just that is something about her that I really admire and really love writing to. And then also she is completely unshockable, which I think is necessary for a book like this. So she'll tell me sometimes she'll be reading the script in the middle of the night or something, and she just bursts out laughing so hard. And I'll say, well, what part was it? And it's like the most disturbing, disgusting part. So I think having an artist with that type of sensibility is really important for the book.
And who is your who's your editor on this book?
Well, it started out with Nachi, but now it's Matt Idelson.
Okay.
Who's also the editor on Wonder Woman, who I adore.
Very cool. And, you know, no worries about breaking any, you know, have you been told no on any scenes you want to do or dialogue or anything so far?
Once in a while there might be a little expletive that I put in that maybe they're not comfortable with. But that's kind of to be expected. I just write what I think it should be, and sometimes that might be a little far, but not very often. They've been just really great about allowing the disturbing factor and things like that. And most of the time, if there's something that can't be done, it has to do with that character is being used elsewhere in a book at this time. You know, it's just very easy. And the fun thing for me about this book is kind of me on an evil rampage.
Sure.
And they kind of have gone along with it so far.
Very cool.
But back to the art team, the other thing I really am so excited about with this book is Nicola got to choose her inker, which is Doug Hazelwood, who was her inker on Birds of Prey, and he totally gets her work and adds to it, makes it, you know, beautiful and perfect. And then Jason Wright, the colorist, who she also wanted, he's one of the top colorists I've ever worked with. It's absolutely stunning what he's doing with the color. It's like color painting. It's, you know,
what?
I just couldn't be happier with the art team.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I'm always a knucklehead and only think of the penciler and forget about how important the inker and colorist is. And you're right. I mean, the book is gorgeous.
Well, I have the advantage that I see everything through each stage.
Sure.
So I can see, you know, it from pencils to the finished product, and everybody adds to it. And, of course, Nicola, she's just absolutely amazing. And one of the new characters coming up that she has designed is just, it'll knock your socks off when people get to see her.
You know, and some of the things that make the book interesting is how they react not only to other villains, but other heroes. And I can't help but think, as dark as this team is, it would be interesting to see if you get the opportunity to use Captain Marvel against this incredibly dark team.
Oh, don't worry. Coming up, here's a little teaser.
Okay.
You will see them face not only half the villains in the DCU, but JLAers, JSAers, some surprise people. They are totally outgunned coming up here.
Excellent.
And then eventually, after this storyline, we have a storyline where they get on the wrong side of Wonder Woman, the bad side of Wonder Woman.
Oh, very cool.
So we will have a chance to see very much how they interact with superheroes as well as the villains.
I know you said you wanted to, before going to a monthly Secret Six, you wanted to establish Wonder Woman and your rhythm on Wonder Woman. Are you cool balancing the two books? Is it, you know?
Oh, yeah, and it's great, too, because, I mean, I'm sure people have heard me say numerous times before that I love having projects that are different from each other, and I can't think of two books that could be more different
Yeah.
tonally, you know. it's still, you know, the same story principles still apply, but tonally it's a lot different, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Something else you mentioned in April that I hope happens, and not only just for Catman, but some of the other members as well. You said you guys talked about the idea of having Secret Six minis rotate with, like, Catman stories.
Well, yeah, we have talked about that, but right now we're kind of getting Secret Six going.
Sure.
And getting it off the ground, and it'll be fun as time goes on if we can explore, like, each character a little more in depth, maybe not as part of the team. And in an upcoming issue that hasn't come out yet, we have a little bit of flashbacks. I sort of hate to use that word, but back into certain parts of their lives that created who they are.
Okay. Oh, and you know, I haven't talked about Bane. Shame on me. You surprised us all. You mentioned this bat villain that you were teasing, and you bring back Bane. And that's cool because, you know, Bane is... I think Bane's tough because of the big impact he had on his first story.
Right.
That I think to follow up, it's been a tough act to follow after that initial debut. So you...
Right.
You know, I mean, I like the moral compass that Bane seems to have, and that he has his own kind of code of, you know, what he does. And I mean, even just his assessment of Scandal was very cool to see in that second issue.
Yeah, it's gonna get really disturbing, actually. Excuse me.
No problem.
But yeah, I think sometimes Bane has been more of a Hulk smash character once in a while, or a little generic. And so I actually asked Chuck Dixon, who created him, you know, what's the deal with him? How do you feel about him? And his words were that he's a moral absolutist. He only sees black and white.
Mm-hmm.
There's no gray, but we're going to see that his interpretation of what moral is just very different from a lot of ours.
Very good. And did you talk to John about Deadshot?
Yeah, I have talked to John and a little bit back and forth, not a whole lot, but some. And one of the reasons that I really wanted to hold off on doing Secret Six is I really wanted the Suicide Squad to have its own, you know, spotlight and not be distracted by a Secret Six mini or anything else that was similar to it.
Okay, very cool. Well, you know, I know you're recovering from your flu, and I'm going to tax you further in a episode or two to run through 50 questions, which will cover Wonder Woman and your Marvel stuff. So today was all about Secret Six, and I think you've given us some nice teasers of what to look forward to. So I'll let you off the hook now.
Thanks a lot, John.
No,
I really appreciate it, and also thanks to the people that are supporting this book. I've just had so much good response from it, and even retailers saying they've had to reorder 5 times and stuff, and that makes me really excited because I really do love writing these disturbing characters, and it's fun to see how people really react to them. So thank you guys very much.
A quick hit about the Secret Six with writer Gail Simone. And as I said, Gail has promised to come back very soon to Word Balloon to run through another 50 questions with Word Balloon listeners. And don't forget, you can always ask questions and suggest guests by coming to wordballoon.com, our website. If you click on the forum link, that'll take you to our forum page, and we've got a thread up there for interview requests, random questions that you may have, any subjects that we have covered there, and you can even start a new subject if you'd like. But this is the place to do it here at Word Balloon. And don't forget, too, that you can find us all over the internet. We're at iTunes, at newsarama.com. If you go to all the various podcatching sites, you should find our RSS feed there. And tell a friend about Word Balloon if they enjoy comic book podcasts. You could also email me if you want, john@wordballoon.com. This episode of Word Balloon is brought to you by InStock Trades at InStockTrades.com, where they offer discounts of up to 35% on your favorite trade paperbacks, hardcovers, absolute editions, omnibus editions, and more. And you can enjoy free shipping on those purchases if you spend $50 or more at InStockTrades.com. And again, the deals that involve the Secret Six and Gail Simone. The Villains United trade is on sale for just $8.18. The Secret Six Volume 1, just $9.44. And that great crossover with Birds of Prey called Dead of Winter, it's just $11.33 at InStockTrades.com. Thanks again for listening. John Suntress saying stick around for October. More great interviews on the way, some great names, and really have been having fun so far, and have great names also in the lineup to talk to as the weeks progress. Don't forget also about the Chicago Comic-Con coming October 25th, where we'll be talking with Don Kramer, Gene Ha, Mike Norton, Tim Seeley, a host of others, and it should be a great time. Please join us on Saturday, October 25th, if you're in the Chicago area or near it. It's going to be in Lakeview on Halsted at the Center. And for all the details, it's just $5 for the con. You can go to the website, WindyCityComicCon.com. Until next time, thanks for listening. Word Balloon is a copyright feature of Shaky Productions. Copyright 2008.